The shiur tonight is on Shimon HaTzadik's meeting with Alexander. And just a brief history before we get into the Gemaras. So last week we spoke about the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, and the period started with Ezra. And towards the end of the period of the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, there was this great leader named Shimon HaTzadik. Shimon HaTzadik was the Kohen Gadol, and he was also the leader of the Jewish people towards the end of the 4th century. So at the time of the Anshei Knesset HaGedola and Ezra, we said that the Persian kingdom had allowed the Jewish people to return to Eretz Yisrael, rebuild the second base of Mikdash, to rebuild the Mikdash. And towards the end of the period of the Anshei Knesset HaGedola and the end of the 4th century BCE, the Alexander of Macedonia, as we know him as Alexander the Great, he had conquered the Persian Empire. And he had united three kingdoms. He united the Persian kingdom with the Greek kingdom and the Macedonian kingdom. And it's at that point that Shimon HaTzadik lived. And there's a story in the Gemara that we're going to look into tonight, which talks about Shimon HaTzadik meeting up with Alexander of Macedonia. But of course, what happens is that quickly this united kingdom that was established by Alexander ends up dividing pretty quickly into, and Israel is actually run by the Seleucid family, the Seleucid dynasty. But at that time, once Alexander enters into the framework and he enters into Eretz Yisrael and conquers it, so Hellenism and Greek culture and philosophy start integrating into Jewish society. And at this point, also, another thing that's going on at the same time is that the Samaritans, also known as the Kusim, lived in Eretz Yisrael, and they were fighting with the Jewish people, and they were trying to claim that Eretz Yisrael was theirs and that they were the true Jewish people. So there's a lot of stuff going on at this period of time, and it's from this period of time that we want to take up the shiur. So Shimon HaTzadik, again, was the leader of the Jewish people towards the end of the Anshei Knesset HaGedola period, the beginning of Hellenism. And he meets up with Alexander of Macedonia, who briefly united these three kingdoms, which ends up splitting up very quickly afterwards. So I want to just look at the story in the Gemara about Shimon HaTzadik and try to understand some of the features of Shimon HaTzadik. So the story is actually in the Gemara Yuma, Daf Samech Tes Amud Aleph. It's source number one if you have the source sheets. And the Gemara is discussing the topic of whether or not you're allowed to wear the Big Day Kohen Gadol outside of the Mikdash or not. So that's the question that the Gemara is taking up. So that's where we're going to pick it up from. Look in source number one. Samech Tes Amud Aleph Yuma says, Uva Medina Lo. So the Gemara asks the question, are you really not allowed to wear a Big Day Kohen Gadol outside of the Mikdash? So Vehatanya, do we not learn in a Braisa, Be'estrim V'chamisha B'teves Yom Har Grizimhu D'lo L'misbeid? So the 25th of Teves is called the Yom Har Grizim, and you're not allowed to have eulogies because it's a happy day. It's also brought down, the sages mentions it, it's brought down in the, where is it? It's brought down in another source. I can't remember offhand, but it's brought down also as a Yom of Mishta and no Hesped. So the question is why? Why was the 25th of Teves this special day? So now we get into the story here. It says Yom Shebikshu Kusiyim as Beis Elokeinu Me'Alexandros Mokdun L'Achrivo V'Nafsnu Lahem. So it was the day that the Kusiyim, which I mentioned in the historical overview, they were fighting and claiming Eretz Yisrael was theirs, and they wanted to destroy the Jewish people. So they had convinced Alexander that the Jews were really his enemies and that he needs to destroy them and give the Beis HaMikdash to them and give Eretz Yisrael to them. So that was the backdrop. So they told Shimon HaTzadik, I guess the Jewish people that heard about this, they told Shimon HaTzadik about the plan of the Kusiyim to take on, to convince Alexander to destroy the Jews. So Ma'asa, so what was the plan? What did he do? Lavash Bigdei Kahuna. So Shimon HaTzadik, he wore the Big Day Kahuna, Venis Atif B'Big Day Kahuna, and he wrapped himself in the Big Day Kahuna, Umiyakiri Yisrael Imo, and he brought the noblemen of Klal Yisrael with him, V'Avuko Shel Or B'Yedein, and they traveled with torches in their hands, V'Chola Laila Halalu Holchem Mitzad Zeh, V'Halalu Holchem Mitzad Zeh, V'Halalu Holchem Mitzad Zeh, the whole night He had individuals walking on each side of him, these noblemen. And then it says, Acha Allah Muda Shachar, until dawn. Kevan Sha Allah Muda Shachar, Amar Lahem, Mihalalu. So he said, once the Amar Shachar occurred, he said to them, meaning Alexander said to his escorts, the people who were with them, who are these people? He saw them. So Amru Lo, Yehudim Shemardubach. Sorry, no, it's the Jews that are trying to rebel against you. Kevan, sorry, that was, I believe it's the Samaritans. The Samaritans were the ones, the Kusim were the ones who basically said it's the Jews that are coming, the ones with the torches in their hands, and they're the ones who are trying to destroy you and rebel against your kingdom. So Kevan Shigil Antipatris, Zarcha Chama, they got to this place, Antipatris, and the sun had come up. Upagu Zebezeh, and this crew of Shimon HaTzadik, these noblemen, Shimon HaTzadik was wearing the Big Day Kahuna, Big Day Kohen Gadol, they ran into Alexander, they approached each other. Kevan Shiro'al the Shimon HaTzadik, so once Alexander saw Shimon HaTzadik, Yorad Mimir Kavto V'Yishtachav Elefanov, he got off of his chariot, and he bowed down to Shimon HaTzadik. So Amr Lo, so they said to him, this is where his men, his people, they said to him, Melech Gadol Kemoscha Yishtachav El Yehudi Zeh. So great king, Alexander the Great, great king, you're bowing down to this Jew, Shimon HaTzadik? So Amar Lahem, he said, Demus Diokno Shel Zeh Menatzeches Lefonai Beves Milchamti. I see the image of this person, Shimon HaTzadik, before me when I'm victorious in battle. So Amar Lahem, so they said, Lama Basam, he said to them, Alexander said to the Jews, why are you here? So Amru, they said, Efshar Bayish Mispalim Bo Alecha, Val Machusecha, Shlo Techra of Yisavech Goyim Lachrivo. So is it possible that the house, meaning the Jewish people, and where we pray for you and we want your kingdom to succeed, that you're going to destroy us because these Samaritans, these Goyim, are trying to trick you? So Amar Lahem, he said, Mi'alalu, who are these people who are trying to trick me? Amar lo, Kusim alalu sh'omdim lefanecha. The ones who are trying to trick you are the Kusim. So Amar Lahem, he says back to them, Harehim misurim b'yedchem, b'yedechem. So they're given to you, meaning do what you want with Kusim. Mi'yad nakvum b'ikvehem v'talom b'zinve susayim v'yumegarin osan ala kotzim v'ala barkanim achi yu lahar grizim. So the Jewish people tied up all the Kusim's ankles to their horses, and they dragged their bodies over all these thorns and rough spots until they got to Har Grizim, which Rashi says, look at Rashi in source number 2, it's Makom Moshavan Shel Kusim, it's the place where they lived. Kevan Shigyu Lahar Grizim, Harshu, once they got to Har Grizim, they plowed with these individuals, I guess over the individuals, Vizaru Karshinin, and they planted leeks in that area. Kederech Shebikshu Lasos Lebeis Elokeinu. And it's like a midah k'neged midah, just like they wanted to destroy our Beis HaMikdash and use it as a field. So too, that's what happened to them. So kevan shigyu lahar grizim, kederech shebikshu lasos lebeis elokeinu, v'osa yom asau yom tov. So they made that day a very festive day. Hence the 25th of Teves is Yom Har Grizim, the day where the Jewish people were able to destroy the Kusim and turn their bodies into plow with their bodies, plow over their bodies, and destroy them. So Ibai Sema, so the Gemara answers the question, so how is it possible that he was allowed to wear the Big Day Kohen Gadol? We go back to the halachic point. How is it possible that he was allowed to wear the Big Day Kohen Gadol outside of the Mikdash? So Re'uya LeBig Day Kahuna, one side says that they weren't the actual Big Day Kohen Gadol, they were Re'uyin. They were similar, they were made like it. V'Ibai Sema, Eis Lasu Su Hashem Efir Torah Secha. And another possibility is that it was necessary, and sometimes when the survival of Klal Yisrael is at stake, you're allowed to break the Torah, do things against the Torah. Rashi says, "Shabbat is lasos davar l'shmo shel makom, mutar lahafir bo Torah." When you want to do something for Hashem's name, for the sake of Hashem, sometimes you're allowed to break Torah. And even though it was wrong for Shimon HaTzadik, in this situation, it was allowed. So I don't really want to get into the halachic idea, but the story is very interesting. So let's just summarize the story before we ask the questions. The story is that these Kusim, who were anti-Jews, and they wanted to claim Eretz Yisrael as their own, they try to convince Alexander, this great general, great king, to destroy the Jews. And what did the Jews do? Shimon HaTzadik, who was the Kohen Gadol, he dressed up in his clothing. He went out to greet Alexander. They and they came across each other. And as soon as Alexander saw him, he gets off his chariot, he bows down to Shimon HaTzadik, and they ask him, like, why are you bowing down? And he says, I see this individual's image when I go to war. And then Shimon convinces him that the Kusiyim are really against him, and the Jews are really for Alexander, and they're really praying and davening for Alexander. And in the end, it becomes a great festive day because the Jews kill all the Kusiyim who tried to destroy them. So there's a lot of questions here. The overall question is the concept that Shimon HaTzadik saved the Jewish people in this way, that Alexander bowed down to him. What does it mean that Alexander saw his image in when he battled and when he was victorious in battle? And so what's that? What does that mean? What's that concept? What can we learn from that idea regarding Shimon HaTzadik? And just a smaller question that I think we can answer. It's funny, when the Gemara talks about Shimon HaTzadik putting on his clothes, it says, Lavash Bigdei Kahuna V'Nis'atef B'Bigdei Kahuna. So it uses two terms. So what's interesting is, what does that mean, this atef b'vigdei kahuna? It means to wrap yourself. So the question is, why does the Gemara use those two terms to describe what Shimon HaTzadik did? So the overall question, again, is this strange concept that Alexander is getting off of his chariot to bow down to Shimon HaTzadik, who's the topic and the individual that we're discussing today within the context of this history. And what does it mean that he saw his image? And furthermore, again, there's a smaller question in Alasha, and it seems strange that he put on the clothing and he was Nisatev. So what is that teaching us? Is there an idea there? So let's just try to analyze that concept of this concept of the Big Day Kuna Gidola and what it means that he saw the image. So there's a lot of different mefarshim on this, but they don't really add so much, but enough that we can hopefully use it to give a svara here, to give an idea, and to try to really explain and give insight into this meeting between Shimon HaTzadik and Alexander. So the Marsha says like this, look in source number 3, he says, Amar le demusti yokno, malach bidmuso baba milchama lenatzeach lefana. There is an angel, almost like Sar, like the angel of Esav. There's an angel that appeared before Alexander in the image of Shimon HaTzadik. So this makes it even harder. So what is this talking about? What's the idea, the concept that Hashem, if this were literal, what does it mean that Hashem created a malach that appeared in the same vision or in the same form as Shimon HaTzadik? And what's that concept? How does this make sense? It's very strange. And then keep going. Look in source number 3, the Marsha. He says, "Vayishim espalim bo alecha in yano shakusim hilshinu al yidum shemardim b'melach be'isak hamikdash kimo shekvar bitlu binyan beis hamikdash me'melach pras k'mefurash b'sefer Nechemya." So they were telling bad things about the Jews. They were being malshin about the Jews to Alexander about the mikdash, and the binyan beis hamikdash had stopped in Melch in the times of the Persian kingdom. And like it was Mefurish B'Sefer Nechemya. L'zebo Yudim, l'snatzel, de'enu kein, ala adaraba, he mispalden bo b'shlomo shal machuso, k'mash katsav shlomo t'filaso v'gam ala nachri. And the Jews came to Alexander to tell him the opposite. We love you, Alexander. We want you to succeed. So there was this back and forth that the Kusiyim wanted to destroy the Jews, and they were lying. But the Jews came to Alexander to tell him, no, we want you to succeed. Okay, fine. So this concept of this story also exists in Chumash. I found it in a couple of Mefarshim on the Chumash, which I thought was pretty interesting, and maybe I thought perhaps they would give us some more insight. So they put it in the context of different psukim that I think will help us define this Gemara. So if you look in source number four, so in Parshas Kisisa, there's an interesting pasuk. It's a parak. Lamed Aleph Pasuk Yud. It says, "Ve'is bigdei asarad, ves bigdei kodesh la'aron ha'kohen, ves bigdei vanav l'kohen." So it's referring to the various begadim that they created. And the Ibn Ezra says, what is these bigdei sarad? This seems to have no application to our Gemara. It says, "Ves bigdei asarad, hema begadim she'yichsu behem klei ha'kodesh b'nso aron." So the pshat is that the Torah is describing the bigdei sarad were the garments or the bags that they would put the kelim in when they would travel with the aron. So it's like something of travel, like a traveling bag. So the pshat of Big Day Sarad is that the Torah is teaching us that they made Big Day Sarad, that the Jewish people in the Midbar, they made bags that were fit to carry the Klei HaMikdash. They also made Bigdei HaKodesh L'Aaron HaKohen. So they made Bigdei Kuna Gedola, and they also made Bigdei Vanav. They made the regular Bigdei Kahuna. And the Pshat of Bigdei Shrad is that it's referring, it's not referring to clothing, but it's referring to the bags that would carry the Klei HaKodesh. So Rabbi Bachya brings down the Medrash, and he brings down our story from our Gemara, our Gemara from Yuma. So he says in source number 6, V'aldasa Medrash, V'es Bigdei Asrad. So what does it mean, V'es Bigdei Asrad? El Mali Heim Lo Nishtayer Misoneim Shle Yisrael Sarid Ufolit. If not for these clothing, there would not be any survivors of the Jewish people. The Jewish people would be completely destroyed if not for the clothing. V'chein Darshi Razal Maseches Yuma Perek Bolo. And we see this from the story, our story in Yuma, Maisa Bimei Alexandros Moktun. So there was a story in the time of Alexander of Macedonia, Shinis Atev Shimon HaTzadik Kohen Gadol Bevigdei Kuna V'yatzal Likroso. So the Shimon HaTzadik, he wrapped himself in the Bigdei Kuna Gedola, and he went out to greet Alexander. V'chivan Sh'ra'ahu HaMelech Yarad Mal Markavto V'shtachal Gadlo. Once the king saw him, he got off, and he bowed down. Amr lo avadav melech kemostcha yishtachavel Yehudi zeh. Are you really bowing down? Amr lehem demusti yokno menatzeach lefanai be'es milchamti v'hu amalach shayakon misdamelo v'od sham. So Rabbeinu Bachya quotes our Gemara on this pasuk, and he says, ve'es bigdei asrad is a reference to the value of the Bigdei Kahuna Gedola. So we didn't really ask this question, but another question on our story is that why did he have to dress up in the Bigdei Kahuna Gedola? So Rabbeinu Bachya is saying that they were really essential in this story. The Bigdei Kahuna Gedola were responsible for the survival of Klal Yisrael. And that's why they're called Bigdei Srad, because the word Sarid is a reference to a survivor, somebody who survives a terrible type of destruction or war. So it's a Sardu Palit. So too, the Bigdei Srad, these Begadim, were responsible for the salvation and the saving of the Jewish people in this situation. So what is it? So we have all these questions. What does it mean that Hashem created a malach in the image of Shimon HaTzadik? Why did Alexander bow down to this, to Shimon HaTzadik? And what's the idea of the Bigdei Kohen, Bigdei Kahuna Gedola, in their role in this story? Why were they so essential? And there's one more pasuk that I wanted to quote, where I found a Sforno. He also quotes this Gemara. I think everything will come together. That's my hope towards the end of this year, that we can put everything together and try to understand the nature of Shimon HaTzadik. So if you look at in Parshas Kisavo, Parakhav Ches Pasuk Yud, it's source number 7. There's another pasuk. It says, V'ru'u kol amei ha'aretz kishim Hashem nikra lecho v'yaru'u mimecha. So when the Jews are keeping the Torah, it says that all the amei ha'aretz, all the other nations, will see you, and they'll see that the name of Hashem is proclaimed over you, and they'll be fearful of you. So the Sforno, he says, V'ra'u kemoshe sipruzal Alexander shishtachavo lefanav. He quotes our Gemara, and he says that this bracha, that the Jewish people, because they're proclaiming the name of Hashem, and the name of Hashem is proclaimed over them, that other nations will be in awe of them and be fearful of them, that's expressed in the story of Alexander. So what is this pasuk referring to? What exactly is the concept? Can we... It's kind of a broad question, but I want to try to isolate the concept here a little bit better and try to get a deeper understanding of what's going on here. All right. So within this context, there's another Gemara that I saw. It's actually a Tosefta. It's quoted by the book. So the book the sages that we're following, he quotes a lot of these sources. So it's really valuable to try to understand the sources that he quotes. And one of the sources he quotes is a Tosefta. So the Tosefta also discusses Shimon HaTzadik, and it gives another story, another idea about Shimon HaTzadik that, once again, I think we can learn from. So if you look in source number 9, it says, Kol zman shehaya Shimon HaTzadik kayam. So as long as Shimon HaTzadik was alive, haya ner ma'aravi tadir. So the ner ma'aravi was permanent. It was always there. Mishemes, once he died, halchu umatzuhu shekava. Mikan ve'ilech motzien oso pa'amim kava, pa'amim dolek. So as long as Shimon was alive, the Ner Maravi, the western candle of the menorah, was always lit. But once he died, it was lit sometimes, and it burned out sometimes. It says, Kozman shei Shimon kayam haisa maracha tadira, kishimisadrin osa kishacharis haisa miskaveres. Next page. Ve'alechas kol yom kulo. Ve'ayim akriven alea tamidin musafim niskan. Ve'lo yom mosifin alea el shnei gizrei etzim im tamichel bin arbaim. K'dei lekayim mitzvos etzim bilvad. Shenemar vi'ar alea koin. So when Shimon HaTzadik was alive, they had this maracha, these wooden stacks on the Mizbeach, and they were lit all day, and they never had to replenish the wood because the fire was always going. And they only put two pieces of wood just to fulfill the mitzvah, but there was really no need for more wood. So that was one of the nisim that occurred when Shimon HaTzadik was alive. But Mishamesh Shimon HaTzadik, Tashas Kocha Shel Maracha. So once he died, so the flame was actually weaker. So they had to keep adding wood to it because the fire wasn't as strong. And then the last one is Kozman Chaya Shimon Kayam, Bracha Nechnasis Peshte Alechem, Uvalechem Apanim. So there was a bracha. As Shimon HaTzadik was alive, when he was alive, there's a bracha on the Shtei Alechem and the Lechem Apanim. Shtei Alechem Mischalkos Batzeres Lekohanim Velechem Apanim Beregel Lechol Mishmaros. So the Shtei Alechem was given out on Atzeres to the Kohanim and the Lechem Apanim on the Regel to all the Mishmaros. Ula Anche Mishmar Yesh Mehen She'ochlin Misovin V'yesh Mehen She'ochlin U'mosirin V'lo Ola B'yad Kol Echa V'echad El Kezayis. Everyone got a Kezayis, but they were always full. They always had more than enough. So after Shimon HaTzadik died, so there wasn't enough to go around, and those many people just didn't take lechem apanim, and those who did take, they only got a bean size worth of lechem apanim. So there's another Gemara that we see about Shimon HaTzadik, So the Tosefta says that Shimon HaTzadik, when he was alive, the fire of the Ner Maravi was always lit, and when he died, it would come out. Sometimes it would burn out and be lit. Same thing with the Maracha. The fire of the Maracha on the Mizbeach was always lit. When he was alive, when he died, it required more wood. And then the last idea is that the Lechem Apanim and the Shtei Alechem were in abundance when Shimon HaTzadik was alive, even though a Kezayis was given out. But when he died, it was as if it was a morsel of food. So it felt like there was much less food. So what do we can we derive an idea about Shimon HaTzadik from all these sources? And that's really the focus of the shiur tonight. So hopefully we can. So again, we had the Gemara where he meets Alexander, and then now we have this Tosefta which talks about his impact on the Mikdash. So can we put all this together? So I want to give a svara, a theory based on the Rambam in the Mora Nevuchim and the Rambam in Hilchos Kli HaMikdash, and then hopefully we'll come back and we'll answer the questions that perplexed us in the very beginning. So if you look in the Mora Nevuchim, it's Chelek Gimel Perek Memhei, and he's talking about the purpose of the Mikdash and the Kohanim and why it has to be built in the way that it was built. And one thing he takes up is the Big Day Kahuna and the Kohen Gadol. So if you look in source number 10, he says, "Umichal advarim hamivim lahagdil hamikdash ulufaro ach yagia lano yira mimenu." So there are many factors that influence our perspective of the mikdash and our awe of the mikdash. And one of those things, or one of the many things, is shlo yavo ilav lo shikar v'lo tame v'lo mishlo rachatz rosho ritzoni lomar perua rosh v'karu begadim. So certain individuals, like a drunk person or a person who's tame or a person who lets his hair grow out long or tattered clothing, they're not allowed to work, they're not allowed to be oved in the mikdash. Vishakol oved yikdash yadav raglav, and you have to wash your hands and feet. Ulahagdil abayis od, and in order to enhance the image of the bias of the base of mikdash even more, higdil malas ovdav, he raised the status of those who work in the mikdash. Vinivdilu hakohanim v'halavim, and the kohanim and levim were separated. V'tziva l'halbish hakohanim begadim na'im umalbushim yafim v'tovim bigdei kodesh l'chavod ulsifaras. And the kohanim have to wear nice clothing, beautiful clothing, out of respect and beautification. U'shalo yishamish ba'avoda ba'almum, a person who has a defect, a physical deficiency, is not allowed to work in the mikdash. V'lo ba'almum levad alachu'urim gamkin poslim kohanim. It's not just the ba'almum, even those who are unattractive. K'moshi yizbar b'talmud zosa mitzvah. It's because people are superficial. That's the nature of humans. And a person would never raise up an individual who was not attractive and who was who really was had a mom. They just wouldn't look at them in the same way as an individual who was dressed nicely and who didn't have any defects. The purpose of all this is that the Beis HaMikdash should appear in a certain way to everybody. Everyone should see the Mikdash and they should be in awe of the Mikdash. And ultimately, it's to bring a person to Yedias Hashem and to the acknowledgement and recognition of the existence of Hashem. But the Mikdash was created in a way whereby it would facilitate a certain awe and a certain respect. And that's the meaning, and that's the reason why we have all the Klei HaMikdash and the design of the Mikdash. The whole thing is to elicit a certain response. And the Kohanim and the Big Day Kahuna are part of that. So the Kohanim and Big Day Kahuna are really an element of trying to elicit the same reaction amongst people. But there's also a special halacha by the Kohen Gadol. Just one more halacha, and then we'll get to the Svara. There's one more halacha by the Kohen Gadol. If you look in source number 11, the Rambam in Hilchos Klei HaMikdash, Perek Hei, he says, Kohen Gadol tzarach shiyeh gadol mikol echav ha-kohanim b'noi b'koach b'osher b'chachma u'v'mara. The Kohen Gadol has to be greater amongst his brethren, other Kohanim, in looks. So he has to be better looking. He has to be stronger, be wealthier, have greater chachma, wisdom, and appearance. It's a good question what the difference between Noi and Mara is. In lo mamon, kol kohanim nosin lo mishalahen, kol echel lefi osro, achi yashir yoserim osher shivakulan. Let's say the Kohen Gadol is poor, but he has all the other qualities. So all the Kohanim have to chip in, and they have to make the Kohen Gadol the wealthiest of them all. And he has to be wealthier than even the wealthiest of the other Kohanim. So it's a good gig to be a Kohen Gadol, because you get money if you're poor. And the Kohen Gadol had to have all these qualities, so the question is why? So based on the Rambam before, it makes sense, because the whole idea of the Mikdash is that it's supposed to elicit a certain response in people, a natural, superficial response. And the Kohen Gadol is supposed to be the epitome of that concept, of that idea, that he's really the top, the highest Oved of the Mikdash. So he himself must elicit that same level of response. And that's why you need an individual that has all these qualities, because only an individual that has these qualities will elicit this superficial response. So that is the idea. So what is the concept now of Shimon HaTzadik? So Shimon HaTzadik, we see from the Tosefta that everything in the Mikdash was affected when he died. So what does that show you? It shows you that Shimon HaTzadik was really an aspect or almost an element, an embodiment of the Mikdash itself. He was essential to the Mikdash because we see that the Mikdash functioned in a less efficient and effective way once he died. And we see that in three areas. One is in the area of the menorah, which is really the area of the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol was responsible for the menorah, the korbanos, which is the tzibor, is the idea of tzibor and Mikdash. And then the idea of lechem apanim, which is the idea of other Kohanim within the Mikdash. So those elements of Mikdash were really lacking or deficient once he died. So that shows you that Shimon HaTzadik, he wasn't just an individual working in the Mikdash, but he is identified with the Mikdash, and when he passes away, the Mikdash is lacking. So perhaps that's the chiddush of Shimon HaTzadik. So the idea of Shimon HaTzadik was that he was the epitome, the paradigm of the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol that the Rambam describes in the Halachos and that he describes in the Mor Nevuchim. So that individual was Shimon HaTzadik. He possessed all the qualities of the ultimate Kohen Gadol, and he was able to almost, on the highest level, embody the response that the Mikdash is supposed to elicit amongst individuals. So that's why I think, that explains what I think, that the Gemara is teaching us earlier in Yoma when he meets Alexander. So why does he wear the Kohen Gadol, the clothing of the Kohen Gadol? Because Shimon HaTzadik recognized that when he wore the Kohen Beit Kohuna Gedola, he really epitomized and was the paradigm of the Mikdash, of really the idea of the Mikdash eliciting a response of awe. And that was the response of Alexander. So when he came across Shimon HaTzadik, he was so profoundly affected by just the image of Shimon HaTzadik, and he was so in awe of the image of Shimon HaTzadik that he immediately bowed down to him. And he almost equates the image of Shimon HaTzadik to the image of an angel, the image of an angelic figure. So I don't believe that the idea is that there was a nes, that there was this angel that appeared before Alexander. I think that Alexander associated Shimon HaTzadik to this angelic figure, because he really epitomized the idea and the identity of the Kohen Gadol, which is really to elicit a response of awe and respect tied to Mikdash. So that is the nature of Shimon HaTzadik. The unique nature of Shimon HaTzadik is such that, and that's why the Tosefta says all these things were affected when he died, to show you that he was an embodiment of Mikdash. And just as the Rambam says that the Mikdash and Kohanim were there to elicit a response, even if it's superficial, a response of awe, in order to draw man into the Mikdash and draw them into the ideas of God. So Shimon HaTzadik was the paradigm Kohen Gadol. He had all the qualities that the Rambam discusses, Noi, Chachma, Osher, and he knew that only by wearing the Bigdei Kuna Gedola could he elicit this response from Alexander, and he did, and he was successful. So I believe that's the Chiddush here. The Chiddush of Shimon HaTzadik is that we can learn about his personality that he was an embodiment of Mikdash. He was the paradigm of the Kohen Gadol, able to elicit the response that Mikdash was able to elicit, which is one of awe and one of complete amazement. And that's why I think the Rabbeinu Bachya ties it to the Begadim, because the Begadim are really essential. Had Shimon HaTzadik just appeared in a suit or whatever they had back then, so it wouldn't have had the same effect on Alexander. But the idea of the Bigdei Kuna Gedola, like the Rambam says in the Mora, is that they're so beautiful, they're supposed to elicit an awe, and they're supposed to elicit a drawing in of man to the ideas of Mikdash through this awe and this respect. So that's why the Rabbeinu Bachya says Bigdei Asarah, that the Bigdei Kahuna were essential to the success of Shimon HaTzadik, because he understood that the image that he gave off, the image that he was able to depict to others, was such that it was powerful, and it was so powerful that it could elicit this type of response. So that's why, again, that's why it says that he saw his diokno. It doesn't mean that Hashem created a malach. I don't believe that. I think it means that Alexander associated this image, the image of Shimon HaTzadik in his Bigdei Kuna Gedola, as an angelic type of image, almost like a, I wouldn't say godlike, but almost like a supernatural type of image. And Shimon HaTzadik possessed that quality. He possessed the ability to have that effect. So he used it to the advantage of Klal Yisrael. So that's really what I want to say about Shimon HaTzadik. Any questions? Yes, sir. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. What does it mean that Alexander saw this image before he went into battle each time?
Good question. I mean, I don't think that he actually... I think he was just associating retroactively to the past. Like, I can't imagine that he actually saw this image every time. But I think the idea is that he associated this image with like a almost like a godlike image, like an image that was helping him succeed. So he almost, it appeared to him almost like a, when he saw Shimon HaTzadik, he basically associated to him an idea of like a supernatural assistance. So it doesn't mean, I don't think it really means literally that he saw his image. I think it means that he associated Shimon HaTzadik to the concept of assisting him in a supernatural way in his success.
Sounds though like he said right every time he went to war. This is not like just a retrospective. I mean, even if it's not, it sounds like he had some, let's call it a vision or some sort of, you call it aspiration, however you want to explain, you know, what it means to see it.
Right.
Perhaps, you know, he saw it as a blessing, or that his strivings were, you know, endorsed by the Creator or whatever. Or he was doing it for some noble purpose, or that he was, you know, a divine instrument, or whatever, you know, you can come up with the idea there, but it sounds like there was a consistent...
Well, I mean, I think it fits into the psyche of Alexander. I mean, any great king like that at that period of time wanted to believe that they were, like, destined for greatness, and that there was, like, a supernatural force behind them, you know, helping them and assisting them. So I'm just learning that I'm learning that he only reflected on this idea once he saw him, but if you asked him at battle what he saw, I don't think he saw Shimon HaTzadik. I think after the fact, when he runs into Shimon HaTzadik, he's basically saying, I saw a vision like this at war, which means that he believed in his mind that he was getting assistance, you know, in a supernatural way, like beyond him. So that's how I'm learning it, but it's a good question. But the key point is just to focus on, just not to take, the key point that I'm saying is that really Shimon HaTzadik epitomized the Rambam's concept of Kohen Gadol. You know, the Rambam talks about Kohen Gadol in Halachos that I just mentioned in Klei HaMikdash, that the Kohen Gadol has to possess all these qualities of Koach, Osher, Chachma, Mar, and Noi. And also in the Mora, he talks about the idea of the Kohen Gadol eliciting, with the Kuna Gadola, Begadim, eliciting a certain response. So the idea I'm trying to express is that Shimon HaTzadik was capable of having that type of effect. He was really the epitome of the effect of Mikdash and the ability to elicit that response of awe amongst those who saw him. So he used that to his advantage, and that's why he understood that dressing in the Big Day Kuna Gedola was really essential for their success. He couldn't just appear to them in a suit. He had to wear the Big Day Kuna Gedola in order to give off, portray this image. So I just want to do one more story. Good question, Donnie. I'll try to think about the particulars, but I just want to move on to one more story. In the Yerushalmi, there's one more story brought down in the Yerushalmi. Also a strange story, very difficult to define. So it's also about Shimon HaTzadik. So the Gemara says that in the Yerushalmi, the Gemara Yerushalmi says that a Kohen Gadol, after the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, they would say a tefillah, and it says, V'lo yamarech. It's verse number 12. It says that the Kohen Gadol wasn't supposed to lengthen their tefillah, shalul lahavis es Yisrael, so that Klal Yisrael wouldn't be nervous and scared. The Korban Aida says, Shiach Shavushim Meis. Because they might think that the Kohen Gadol was dead, so you shouldn't lengthen it. So it says, Maisav Echad Sheherich. There was a case where an individual, Kohen Gadol, lengthened his tefillah. The Gamru Likanes Acharav. The Gamru Likanes Acharav. Amru Shimon HaTzadik Haya. So they said that who was this? It was Shimon HaTzadik. He was the one who lengthened it. Amru Lo Lama Rachta. Why did you lengthen your tefillah? Amru Lehem Mispalu Hayisi Al Mikdash Alokechem Shel Yecharav. I was davening that the Mikdash should not be destroyed. So Amru Lo Afal Pichein Lo Hayisa Tzarech Laharech. Even so, you shouldn't lengthen it. So it's a funny response. So just keep going. That really the next story is really what I want to focus on. Arba'im Shana Shimei Shimon HaTzadik Es Yisrael B'Kuna Gedola. So Shimon HaTzadik was the Kohen Gadol for 40 years. Uvishana Achrona Amar Lahen Bishana Zos Animes. The last year of the 40 years, he said, I'm going to die. Amar Lo Me'echan Ata Yodea. How do you know this? Amar Lahen Kol Shana Vishana Shayisi Nichnas Leves Kodesh Kadashim Hayazakin Echad Lavosh Levanim Ba'atuf Levanim Nichnas Imi. So every year when I went into the Kodesh Kadashim, there was an old white clothed man, so an old man wearing white clothing, that's a better way to say it. The Atuf Levanim Nichnas Imi, and he was wrapped in white, and he came into the Kodesh Kodashim with me. V'yotze Imi, and he would come out with me. V'shana Azu Nichnas Imi V'lo Yatze Imi. But this year, which was the last year when he died, he said this old man came in with me, but he didn't leave with me. So Ba'un Kumi Ravavahu. So Rav Avohu, he was investigating this story, and he asked, "V'aksiv v'chol adam lo yeh ba'ol moed b'vol l'chaper b'kodesh atzei so." You're not allowed to have any individual in the mikdash when the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh Kadashim on Yom Kippur. You're not allowed to have anybody else in the mikdash. Afilu osan shekasu behen udmus pneihem pnei adam lo yeh ba'ol moed. You're not even allowed to have malachim. So that's what it's referring to. Udmus pneihem pnei adam lo yeh ba'ol moed. There can't be men or malachim. So Amr Lon, Ma Amr Li, Dahava Bar Nash, Ani Omer, Kadosh Baruch Hu Hava, Haya, who said that it was an individual or it was a malach? It really was a Kadosh Baruch Hu himself. A Kadosh Baruch Hu was the old man with the white. So if you look in the Korban Eida, he says, Haya Zakin Echad, Kinoi La Kadosh Baruch Hu. So it's a Kinoi for Hashem, Kidamesik, like the Maskana, V'chein Kasib B'Daniel, V'asik Yom and Yosef. So Afilu Osen Shekasib and Mus Pneyam, Dechol Adam L'Rebuyi Ka'asi. Chol Adam is a Reboy. I guess it should just say Adam, or why is it called Adam? So Imkin, Kevach in Malach Rashai Liosham Bishasak Tara, Miya Zakin Shai Imosham. Who is this old man that was with him if it wasn't a Malach? So Amar Le, Man Amar Shaya Adam O Malach, Ani Omar Shaya Kadosh Baruch Hu Ba'atma. Who said it was a man or a Malach? It was really Hashem. It's a very difficult Gemara. So the Gemara is saying that Shimon HaTzadik, every year he would go into the Kodesh Kadashim, and there was an old man wearing white who would go in and go out with him. And the last year of his life, he knew he was going to die because the old man only went in but didn't come out. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? You're not allowed to have anybody in the Mikdash, Kodesh Kodashim, certainly not in the Kodesh Kodashim, when he's going in. So, and not even a Malach, whatever that means. So the answer is, it was Hashem himself. So it's strange. How do we explain the concept that, A, a Malach's not allowed? What does that mean? And second of all, how can we explain that an old person, an old man, is really a kinoi for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It seems very antithetical to our idea of Hashem. You know, it seems very childish that children always imagine that Hashem is like a Santa Claus type figure, that he has he's an old man with a white beard. And now we have this Yerushalmi that's corroborating this. And furthermore, last question is, how did he know that it was time to die? You know, what's this concept that it's time to die when the old man doesn't come out with him? So what is that idea? So this is the last point I want to make about Shimon HaTzadik and his personality. So if you look in the Chumash has the same idea. The Chumash brings down the V'chol Adam Lo Yebo Omoed. Rav Chaim Paltiel, one of the Rishonim, he says in source number 14, Tema Mahu Tzrach Lomar Zeh. Why do you have to say this? Tepuk Dechai Misa Mishon Bia Bifnim. We know that nobody's allowed to go Bifnim anyways because you're Chayv Misa. So what is it trying to teach us? V'chol Adam Lo Yebo Omoed. V'yesh Lomar Kigoni Maya Tzrach Likanes V'laso Shuma Voda. V'afal Pichein Aser Im Lo Yeh Kohen Gadol. So let's say a regular Kohen had to do an avoda. He couldn't go into the Bifnim, only the Kohen Gadol. V'afilu Malachim lo yirushayim liyosham ba'osu ayom. And the Malachim are prohibited from being there on that day. K'demuchach b'Yerushalmi, like it says in our Yerushalmi, the Parak Gavi Shimon HaTzadik, kol yom ha-kipurim nichnas imi v'yotze imi v'shana shehaya lo lomos, nichnas imi v'lo yotzimi v'shani hu shechina. So Rav Chaim Paltiel says that every year he came in and went out with me, and then in the last year he only went in with me to the Kodesh Kadashim. And the answer was that it's the Shechina. So he doesn't say that it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says it's the Shechina. So it's a little better to understand it that way. But what exactly is the concept of A, Malachim not being in there, Shimon HaTzadik going in, this old man coming in with him, coming out with him? Okay. So that's the question. Any possibilities?
Rabbi Ginsburg.
Yes.
So, Kachem, right? The avoda on Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
Is that one thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, tshuva.
Okay.
Right? And he only gave that to man.
Okay.
That's only given to man. And that's a time when you're able to reverse all of those evils that you've done during the year.
Okay.
And that is a unique situation between man who has Bechira and God. So having Malachim around the Kodesh Kodashim when this avoda is taking place would subtract from the unique relationship between man and God on only this particular day, because he only went into Beis Mikdash once a year. Only went into the Kodesh
Kodashim
once a year.
Okay, very good. So, good. Yes, yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Okay.
No, keep going, Rabbi Unger. Yeah, I like what you're saying. Yeah, keep going.
So that would answer why the Malachim would be excluded.
Okay.
And the nimshal of God going in and the last day not coming out would mean that that Shimon HaTzadik's mission on the earth is complete, because the going and coming was part of his his purpose on the earth. So when God comes and goes with him, it indicates that he is doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what his purpose on the earth was.
Okay, good.
He's the only one, like the Kohen Gadol is the only one that could do it. So Shimon HaTzadik is the representative that is his mission. So when the old man wrapped in white doesn't go out with him anymore, it indicates that union between man and God in Shimon HaTzadik's particular situation is finished. Not finished. I didn't mean finished. I mean complete.
Right. Okay. Good. So I have a similar idea.
Okay.
Very similar. Yeah.
First of all, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. But yeah. it's sort of like the round shot on Yaakov's ladder, right?
Okay.
In terms of the responsibility of the Nevi'im and the agents, which Nevi'im often can serve as Malachi Hashem, to, you know, go up. They have to go and contemplate God and think of the lofty things, and almost then take a step back down to bring it to the Tzibur, to the Gila, to govern and to teach them the Darach Hashem.
Yeah.
And it's like that itself is a midah of Hashem, that you see that he designed his governance, but ultimately saying that he's no longer being, that he doesn't have to go back, the fact that that image didn't come back with him demonstrating that really works out very nicely in terms of the, it was almost a burden on the Nevi'im or on the agents who have to deal with it.
All right,
they
yeah.
have to lower themselves or demean themselves to deal with this kind of things.
Okay, definitely. So, yeah, so let me just try to take Leslie's idea. I have a little bit of a twist on it, but it's very similar. I was thinking, you know, maybe the idea of a Malachim not being there is the concept that when the Kohen Gadol was entering into the Kodesh Kodashim, his mind had to be solely focused on Yichud Hashem, on the idea of Hashem's almighty power. And any other idea, like a Malach, which is an idea of a messenger, of an indirect idea or concept of God's power, or any other idea, even a human being, any other power, any other existence, cannot be in the mind of the Kohen Gadol when he was entering into the Kodesh Kodashim. So the moment of Yom Kippur where the Kohen Gadol would enter was the moment of complete focus of the Kohen Gadol's mind on the idea of Hashem's perfection and Hashem's uniqueness. And any other entity, existence, even if it's a Malach, that the idea of a Malach not being there is that the Kohen Gadol had to be free of any indirect concepts of Hashem's uniqueness and perfection and power. It had to be just the idea of Yichud Hashem. And anything that was present, meaning anything that could potentially take the Kohen Gadol's mind away from that concept of Yichud Hashem, was a negative and was a detraction and was really your Chayv Misa, because that's really the function of the Kohen Gadol's on Yom HaKippurim when he enters into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The idea is that his mind has to be focused exclusively on that, on Yichud Hashem. So that's what it means, that a Malach wasn't allowed to be there. It means that the Kohen Gadol cannot think of any other existence outside of Hashem himself, outside of the uniqueness of Hashem, and the Malach would be a distraction. That concept would distract from the idea and the ultimate nature of Hashem as a unique existence. So what does it mean that he went in and then he came out, it didn't come out with him? So maybe the concept, like Leslie was saying, was that Shimon HaTzadik, he recognized that that it was his duty to maintain this level of focus throughout the experience. And the idea of going in with him, and meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu going in with him and then coming out with him, is that Shimon HaTzadik was capable of focusing his mind on this idea of God, on this uniqueness of God, throughout the experience, before he went in, you know, when he was in, and when he came out. And that was part of his nature and part of his function as the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. But the last year, it sounds like he recognized in himself that he no longer was capable of maintaining that level of consistency and focus of his mind. And that's what it means that it went in with him and it didn't come out with him. It means that he was able to focus prior to going into the Kodesh Kodashim, and he was able to really solely think about the concept of Yichud Hashem and uniqueness of Hashem, but he was affected by it, to the point where when he left, it means that he could no longer focus. He lost a certain level of focus. So he recognized that it was, like Leslie said, now he was lacking in his duty as a Kohen Gadol. And that was really his purpose and his function, which fits into the earlier Gemara, as we said, which is that really Shimon HaTzadik was made to be Kohen Gadol. It's like he epitomized and was the paradigm of the Kohen Gadol. He's the Kohen Gadol par excellence. So the idea was that once, you know, he recognized, or he saw, that's what it means when it didn't come out with him. He saw that he couldn't maintain that level of focus, that level of unique ability to just isolate that concept throughout the experience. He recognized that his job was now done, and that he can no longer, once his job was done, because his essence was Kohen Gadol, so now it was Misa. Now he knew that he was going to die. So we see these unique features of Shimon HaTzadik, and that's really what I wanted to pretty much give over tonight, which is that Shimon HaTzadik, he was the Kohen Gadol. He was like Aaron in the sense that Kohen Gadol was his essence. It wasn't just an accident of his, but it was his essence. And he was the epitome of it, and he was the paradigm, and his ability to elicit the response of Mikdash, the response of awe. And he himself recognized or saw himself and viewed himself in this role as being his essence. And once he was incapable, even to a small degree, of functioning in this role, he realized that he was going to die, that his job was over, like Leslie said, and now it was Misa. So now his Misa was inevitable. So I think that's the idea of the last piece in the Shir. Okay?
For Pittsburgh.
Yes.
So is it a bit strange that you're saying that the idea is that he would go into the Kodesh HaKodeshim and think purely about Yichud Hashem and no idea of Malachim, no idea of any intermediaries, nothing secondary?
Yeah.
When what you have in the Mikdash, though, is the Aron Kodesh with the two Kruvim on there, which Rebbe has spoken about as being a very fundamental idea, that that's how God runs the world, is how God, so to speak, relates to his creations through the Malachim, which is a very fundamental idea, and that's right there in the Kodesh HaKodeshim. How do you reconcile those two things?
Good question. Well, I don't know if he was supposed to focus on that idea when he was going in.
The direction of the service.
What do you say?
The direction of the service. The service, the avoda has to be directed.
Exactly. Yeah.
To the Shema, right?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Nothing else.
Yeah, exactly.
The Kodesh HaKodeshim was filled with smoke anyway.
Well, that's a Rebbe. I know, you know, Rabbi Chait once said that the idea of the smoke is to acknowledge the inability of man to clearly understand God. You know, that's the idea of the smoke, right? So the concept, yeah, I would say what Donnie was saying is correct. That really, even though, you know, the Kodesh Kodashim possessed entities within it that were supposed to express certain ideas, the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippurim was still supposed to direct the avoda towards a certain concept, like Donnie was saying, the Shem Havaya, the idea of God as the only existence, the only power. So yeah, I think hopefully that answers the question, but it's a good answer.
The only thing that I was wondering,
yeah,
gentlemen,